You see, in the early versions of the superconductive magnet, they originally started out with a metallic core in the centre, a tube. They changed that because of the problems of gradients interacting. They changed that to a fibreglass core, but then because of the way the superconductive magnets are made, in the superconductive region, they have a copper screen, or several copper screens, which help to make the superconductive magnet work better. And it's those copper screens that would pick up the eddy currents. And without magnetic screening, those eddy currents would actually last for, you know, in some cases, as long as a second. You could upset the magnetic field and it would take maybe 1 second or so to recover. And of course, if you tried to do imaging in that 1 second, you couldn't because everything was moving. Then I had this idea that came. I remember one of the postdocs that was working with me at the time, a chap called Barry Chapman. He was down in a room next to the lab, and I remember racing down to him one day and telling him that I'd solved the problem. And he listened patiently while I said, what we should do is not create one magnetic field in the gradient coil, but two magnetic fields, one to shield the gradient coil itself. And if we could do it properly, and I'd done some calculations, very elementary ones, but I'd done some to substantiate what I was saying, that you could perhaps shield the inner gradient coil with this second coil and the magnetic field outside the second coil from the gradient coil would be zero, which meant you could place the whole thing inside a supercon, switch as fast as you wished, and there would be no interaction with the main magnet. That was the idea. And it needed, obviously, fleshing out in detail calculations, which I had already started, but I continued with Barry Chapman, and we published a paper on magnetic screening. We had a new fellow that had joined the department, and his name was Bob Turner. And he was very keen when he heard what I was trying to do. He's very keen to join in and actually, you know, do some calculations on his own. But he tried one method which didn't work. It's a very complicated theoretical method which he tried, and it didn't work. And so we went ahead with the filing of the patent, our first patent. But then Bob Turner spoke to another member of staff who is a theoretician in the department. And the theoretician had done some similar work, not on gradient coil design, but it was a related problem. And the mathematics was very similar to what he wanted. So the two of them collaborated and produced a very elegant piece of work. And it really, you know, did a much better job than I had done with my calculations. But nevertheless, we said to them, well, wouldn't it make sense if we included you on the patent? Because then we've got everything, you know, all our ideas, my ideas, Barry Chapman's ideas, and then Roger Bowley, the theoretician, and Bob Turner. So we combined efforts and added some extra material to the patent. The magnetic screening was a major step forward, and it was actually picked up almost immediately by all the manufacturers who started to introduce magnetic screening. The only firm that we had problems with was GE, They wouldn't pay royalties for the first year or so, but then when it was settled in the European and American courts, I had to go to the States, stand up and swear that we'd done this when we did and so on. And it was accepted, and that was that. So they paid royalty, and I think the university and the inventors did reasonably well out of it. But it was essential, because EPI really wouldn't work in a superconductor if we didn't have that magnetic screening.